Welcome to Today's 20s, the podcast about surviving and ideally thriving in one of the most wild decades of life, our 20s, in the 2020s. I'm Emma Hartley, and I'm here to explore these ups and downs with you and to provide you with entertaining stories along the way. So let's get into it. Today, we are joined by one of my dear quarantine friends, Hannah. She is an amazing person. She actually has her own design agency. I'll let her tell you a little bit more about it. But I'm super excited that we're recording today because Hannah and I actually met once again through Clubhouse. I feel like everyone on my podcast I met through Clubhouse. But Hannah was like one of the first people, like you were one of the first people I met on Clubhouse. Yeah. And I remember we were on a really strange Instagram live together, and like that, I feel like bonded us for life. We also bonded over our love of plants, our love of dogs. We talk about pretty much all things, you know, life and what really matters in life, which are plants, dogs, and, you know, work. So I feel like that was a really random introduction for you, but I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself. But anyways, thank you so much for being on my podcast today. I'm truly so excited that I get to interview you because I feel like we've had so many amazing in-depth conversation about just like finding our way in life. And I feel like you are someone that just really has a unique and, you know, calm perspective on things. So with that, I will let you introduce yourself, you know, and tell my listeners a little bit about you, sort of your general story and how you got to where you are today. And then we'll get into the interview.
I'm super excited about this. I love your podcast. I love listening to it every week. So I'm so honored that you asked me to be on it, which is so cool.
Of course.
For everyone, I am Hannah Orbeck. I'm the founder and interior designer for Lawless Design. So we focus on wellness and sustainability with my company. I work on both residential and commercial projects. And yeah, I focus on sustainability. I have a wellness accreditation. It's called WellAP. And so kind of my background a little bit is I always knew I wanted to do interior design, except for maybe like a brief moment in middle school where I thought I was going to be a fashion designer. And I remember this is so embarrassing, but I had a sketchbook of like designs that I would draw through it.
And oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my parents still have that, which like if I go there and I look at it, I would definitely cringe and be like, what were you thinking? But growing up, so my dad and my mom lived in the same house that my mom grew up in. And so throughout the years, my dad was like always renovating it. It was kind of like room by room. And I was always so fascinated by that. And my uncle is in the construction business too. So I feel like I was always just surrounded by like people who were super handy, who did all this work to their homes. And that just always interested me. So as a kid, I would, you know, help my dad with like little things here and there. So I always kind of knew I was going to do something creative. I was going to be in the design field. And besides that, like one year, I thought I was going to be a fashion designer. I always wanted to do interior design. So I went to school up in the Northeast for interior design. And I also went for business too, because that was always something that was such a passion of mine was, okay, I'm going to have a business one day. And so I graduated from college. I moved down to Philly, which we've bonded over.
I'm wearing my Eagles shirt right now.
I mean, I'm not an Eagles fan, so I can't support that, but I can support
Philadelphia. You're a Patriots fan.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. My boyfriend is a Patriots fan. It's a big, it's a big point of contention in our relationship, I'd say.
So yeah, I moved down to Philly for my first job, and I didn't know anyone there or anything like that. Was there for a year. I decided to move back up to Massachusetts after a year to be closer to some family. And I worked at another architecture firm in Boston. So with those two firms, and the internships I did in college, I always only did commercial design, which is what I thought you were supposed to do as an interior designer. It's kind of what we were taught in my school.
Interesting.
yeah, it was an amazing school. I learned so much, but it was kind of one of those things like, oh, you kind of have to work for a big firm. You have to like do this. And this is kind of like the general route that you have to go down. And so that I always had it in my head, I'm going to do commercial work. I loved doing like hotels and restaurants. The last place I worked at, it was like casinos too, which wasn't really my style. There's only so many sparkly wall coverings that you can pick out before the novelty just like wears off.
I love that. That should be a quote on a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's definitely not my style. I'm much more like muted. I'm not like a glam kind of person at all. So I ended up like worked there for about like 3.5 years. And during that time, I had started my business. And I left about like 3 years ago. I've been doing my business full time now. Yeah, and it's been great. So I'm really happy.
So, okay, let's first start out with while you were working at the other firms that you worked with and started your career in, what was sort of your experiences there? Are you really happy you did that for the experience? You know, do you feel like that prepared you to start your own business? You know, being in the context of a larger organization, or did you feel like, you know, you kind of maybe wish you had started it a bit sooner? And, you know, I guess going off of that question, I'd love to know a little bit more about the transition. You know, I know there's a story behind when you actually decided to start your own business, and I believe your husband was involved in sort of making that choice and that jump. And so I'd love to just start off by sort of diving a bit deeper there.
Yeah. So I absolutely loved all the companies I worked for. I think they were great. I learned so much. I did a few different internships in college. Three of them were required. And my last one, my senior year, I worked for this woman the company was based right around the DC area, but she worked out of her house and she was the director of design. So every day I'd go there and I'd work with her one-on-one, which was like this crazy, amazing experience that now I look back at. I'm like, wow, like that was amazing. Cause she was such an amazing designer, just an awesome person to be around too. And I learned so much. She kind of like took me under her wing and I learned a lot about her and how to like run a business and, you know, just like how to work with people. So then when I moved to Philadelphia, I never even been to Philly. It was kind of a little interesting how I ended up there. I had been looking for jobs in Boston and I couldn't really find anything that I really wanted. It was, you know, still the height of like the recession was like just coming out and there wasn't really a lot of job opportunities. And I remember going on LinkedIn, found this company that was based in Delaware. And they had a job opening. And I did get a job offer from a company in Boston. It was an engineering firm, which I don't do engineering. I don't know why they wanted to hire me. They sought me out. I was very confused. very confused. It was more of like CAD work. And I was going to turn down the job. And my dad and I, my whole family is super close. We're all best friends. And my dad, you know, was like, hey, September 1st, you are off the books. Like after you graduate, like you have to find a job, like, you know, and that was the expectation. I always knew that. And so I had kind of like a timeline of like, all right, I need to figure this out. And this company in Boston was willing to hire me. And I told my dad, I was like, look, like, I can't take that job. Like, that is not what I want to do. And it was like, again, this point of contention where it was like, my dad was like, what are you talking about? This is a great company to work for. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, there's this company in Delaware, you know, they're looking for a designer. They're a small firm, but they're growing quickly. And my dad was like, Delaware, like you're not going to go to Delaware. And it was one of those things where it was kind of like, my dad and I are like super competitive. Like, that's where I get it from. That I was like, yeah, well, watch me, you know, like I will move there. So I ended up going for the interview. I had a couple of rounds of interviews. I ended up getting the job. And as soon as I got the job, I was like, what am I doing? Like, what? Like, why the heck am I moving there? I had never been there until the interviews. And I was like, I don't want to move there. But it was one of those things that like in the back of my head, for whatever reason, I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to go here. Like, it was just like one of those things that I felt like I needed my journey to go there. I didn't know anyone, didn't know the area at all. But I felt like in college, I think I lost myself a little bit because I was always super insecure. And I think I just needed time like away from everyone and everyone just kind of like figure out myself. and like not try to fit in, like not try to like be a different person, but really just like stick to my roots and who I am and like figure all that out. So the company I worked for, I did like some office work, multifamily work. And again, it was a small firm and it was such an awesome environment and I absolutely loved it. The reason I moved back is like my great grandparents, I was super close to them as well. And they were getting sick and I wanted to move back. And so I had gotten the job up in Boston and I was all ready to move. And I had gone to the gym every single morning before work. That's, you know, part of my routine. And I'd always seen this guy.
Is this in Philly?
Yeah. Yeah. This is
okay. Which gym was it?
It's not there anymore, which is super sad, but
that is sad.
Well, so it was based actually in Wilmington, Delaware, because that was where my company was.
Wait, okay. So where in Wilmington, Delaware was this?
It was right by, I don't know the area well. It was like off exit 9 or 10. That literally is no help.
Was it like downtown? Not that there's like really a downtown.
Yeah. No, it was a little more north of that. It was like North Wilmington.
Okay. First off, I didn't know you worked in Wilmington because I worked in Wilmington.
Oh, okay.
When I lived in Philly.
Yeah. That's what I did too.
Yeah. Okay. So this is just another example of how Hannah and I are just soul sisters that we just met each other. It's crazy. We have way too much in common.
Yeah.
I've never met anyone that has done that either, by the way.
No. Oh, I haven't either. So, except for one of the girls who worked with me. But so I worked in the riverfront. That like right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I feel like okay. What's the design firm? We're getting really off topic. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. No, it was Bernardin. It was an architecture firm.
Okay. Now I have to look it up because I know that there was an architecture firm that redid the office building and I'm pretty sure they're by the waterfront, but I'm not sure. But like, how crazy would it be if it was that one? Okay.
That's
anyways.
So funny.
Continue with your story about going to the gym every day in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know, right? So random. So I go. So the gym was in Wilmington. So I'd go there because it was like right by my office.
Yes.
So every morning I'd go there and I always saw this guy and I'd kind of be like, oh, he's cute, you know, like whatever. But like, I'm the type of person at the gym that is like head down. Don't talk to anyone. Like, I can't tell you how many times I get people to like say like, you look so mad. Like what's going on? It's the morning. I don't think people want to talk. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm just like super antisocial at the gym. But of course, like there was always a couple of people that like, they were older and they were always like, oh, like, you know, there's this guy, Mike, that you should talk to. He's an engineer and he works on his house. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, that's really cool. But I'm like, I am not like, I was never like into dating. Like I was kind of just like, again, just trying to like focus on myself, like whatever. Well, the week that I got the job and I'm moving back up to Boston, he decides that this is a great time to come over and introduce himself. So we get to chatting and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, wow, we have a lot in common. And so for the rest of the week, we kind of just like said hi and like chatted for a couple of minutes. And I think it was like the second to last day I was there. He was like, hey, like, what are you doing this weekend? Like, I'd love to go out with you. And I was like, oh, like, I'm really sorry, but like, I'm moving. And he's like, well, that's okay. Let's try next weekend. And I was like, oh, no. Like, I'm moving to Boston. And he was like, oh. And he was like, okay. And he's like, well, I'd still like to get your number anyway. And in my head, I'm like, what the heck? Like, who is this guy? Like, you know, at the time I was 23. And I was like, why does he want my number still? And I remember like texting my best friend who had done long distance with her husband. And I was like, why is this guy like wanting my number? And she was like, any guy worth willing to go out to dinner with you and drive 400 miles is a guy worth going out to dinner with. And so I was like, wow, like that's such a good perspective. So moved back up to Boston a few weeks later, went on our first date and, you know, long story short, now he's my husband. So then when I was in Boston, I worked for an architecture firm for a few years and I, at the beginning, absolutely loved it. Incredible company. I learned so much there. And I did a lot of hospitality work too. So I did like hotels, casinos, restaurants again. And why I started my business is my husband on our first date when we went out, we were talking about work and stuff like that. And he had mentioned, he was like, oh yeah, like he's an engineer. He's like, oh, but I also started this side business. I was like, what do you mean? Like you're 25, like how do you have a business? And he was like, it's easy. You just go online. Like you just sign up for a business. I was like, what? Like, I was like, okay, well, it's definitely more than that. And I, in my head, I always thought that like you had to be this middle-aged person, work your way up through a company, and then maybe, you know.
Puppy.
This is Kona.
You want to? Hi, Kona.
Hi. Yeah. He's the best.
Oh my gosh. Your dog is literally the cutest dog I've ever seen. I want to squish his face so bad.
I mean, like, I think I'm definitely partial because I think he's the cutest too.
He really is. Also, I'm so sorry. I keep interrupting you, but like too many exciting things keep happening. Wilmington, your dog. I'm just like, I have to. I'm
like, but this is why like, we connected. This is why
I know it's so funny every time.
But yeah.
Wonderful story.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, you know, how I figured out you could start a business.
Isn't it crazy though? I feel like that is the case with everyone that starts their own business. It's like, wait, you can just start your own business. Like when I started my own podcast, I was so confused. And I feel like, I don't know if I was listening to a podcast that said this, or if it was a Clubhouse room conversation, but they were basically talking about how, and I don't know if this is, you know, if you feel the same way, but I feel like guys just somehow know that you can like start their own business, or they have no reservations about things. And so they'll just go ahead and figure it out. And especially for women entrepreneurs, I feel like one of the reasons that women entrepreneurs are, you know, less common is because we're so used to doing things by the books and really getting things right on the first go round. And, you know, it's not really in our, you know, DNA to be like, oh, I'll just, you know, see how this goes. And if I fail, I fail. You know, we want to get it right. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, you've felt the same sort of disconnect between, you know, the gender, but like, for me, I'm like, I truly didn't know that you could just start your own business. Like I thought there was so much more to it than it is. I'm not saying that it's not hard work, because it is, but it's a lot more streamlined than I think people actually think.
Oh, totally. I feel like it was so casual when he brought it up, and I'm like, really? Like that, you know, you can just start one. Like I didn't really realize that. I feel like also, I mean, it wasn't even like that long ago. I mean, it was maybe like what, 6 years now? Like entrepreneurship, I think, was so different back then. And for Mike, like I think he also just like doesn't care what people think, or like does not care at all. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes like too, as like women, I think sometimes we can care a little bit more. And I think my confidence too, that was something that I was like still struggling with and working on. And for me, I'm not necessarily a perfectionist, but I'm really hard on myself and I don't like failing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I was like, well, what if I start a business? Like, well, what if it doesn't go well? Like, what if, like, you know, what if people find out, like how embarrassing, you know? And like, I think those were all like the things running through my head. Whereas I feel like Mike is like, I'm just going to start a business. Like, I know I could do it. Like, I don't know. I think that definitely has something to do with it.
No, it's so true. And, you know, speaking about like the confidence piece too, I felt like my confidence journey, when you were talking about like, you know, in college, just like kind of feeling like not super confident, and then sort of like finding it and like being on your own, like after college, like that was exactly, you know, somewhat of my experience. And I feel like finding my confidence sort of helped me realize that I could start something like a podcast, or, you know, just like put myself out there. But you know, something I always feel like is kind of an interesting question is like, what helps build confidence? Is it just, you know, is it more of the personal development where you feel like you've figured out who you are and therefore are just like being you confidently? Or is it one of those things that I think that comes with experience? Because I think a lot of people think that confidence comes from, you know, doing things well and starting to like succeed. But in some ways, I feel like my confidence came when I was least successful, like in the, you know, in the, I guess, more traditional sense. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Like, I think like in college, I definitely lost myself the first couple of years. I think just like, again, I was trying to fit in and I was just never confident my entire life, like never, probably just up until like the last like few years. The last couple of years, I definitely gained confidence because I think I found myself the last couple of years when I found like my best friend in college. We had gone abroad together in our same major, our whole major went abroad. And her and I were like kind of friends, but like didn't really know each other that well. And we ended up rooming together. And it was like the first night we just like ended up like staying up talking for hours, just talking about like our families and our values and how we were brought up. And it was like this like immediate connection. And it was so cool how that happened. And I feel like I gained a little bit of confidence finding that friend who was there with me to kind of just be able to lean on. And she's also the friend too, who had the husband, you know, who did long distance too.
Oh, yeah.
So she's always been such like an encouraging person because I feel like she's someone who I can always turn to for advice and like know that like we have the same outlook on life that I think was just like really helpful for me. I also think the confidence level too with like my family, like my parents are always been like amazingly encouraging. They're my best friends. My brother's my best friend. He's a year older. So I think having that too, like that support system of people who are there for you. And then I also had like a handful of other amazing like best friends in college who are still my best friends now that I think just like it definitely really helped. Like once I found those people, because I didn't really find them like for a little bit. And it was like, once I got that like solid core of people, it was like, oh, I can just be myself. Like, I don't have to like try to be someone different or like, I don't know, just, I think that was like really important for me.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And it, you know, I had a similar experience in college where I felt like I was constantly trying to be like, I don't even know who, but just not me. Like yeah. I was trying too hard, rather than just like being authentically myself. And what's also so interesting is, you know, I've never heard someone say that like their confidence aligned with finding a best friend, but that is 100% true for me as well. I also met my, you know, best friend and current roommate in college, and she and I just like immediately connected. And finding that person who's going to cheer you on no matter what, as someone who has changed her careers multiple times, you know, and, you know, having a best friend to cheer you on along the way, I think that is so important. You know, even, you know, talking about like friendships too, is like, you know, it's great to have someone like your husband, Mike, who also is super encouraging of your career as well. But in some ways it's so different and valuable to find someone that's a cheerleader, for you, because they're just a cheerleader for you and they're your friend and they want you to succeed and they want to see you do well. And they genuinely care about you, in a way that I think that it's, you know, friendships are just like magical in that way. To just see how much people do, you know, really care that you do well and you are confident and like you are yourself. So I'd never thought about it that way, but I think that is so incredibly true.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, even after like meeting Mike, like I would never have started a business if it wasn't for him. Never. Like, at least now. I mean, he's the whole reason. Like, I had been working at the company for a couple of years and I still really liked it, but I'd always wanted to go out on my own. There was a little bit of like a certain lifestyle with working with that company that it was, you know, you work a lot, you work around the clock. And that was something that I saw that a lot of the people there, and this is, you know, I think everyone's like open to do whatever they want and like, you know, their lifestyle and how they choose to live. But a lot of people would, you know, be there super, super late at night and they had kids. And, you know, like I grew up with like my parents always going to our sporting events. Like they were always there. And that was something that, you know, we always had family dinners together. And I was like, that is something that I want. And I don't want a family now, but like, I know moving forward in my life, like I want a family and I want that same thing. And so me at 25, I'm looking ahead, you know, like just being like, okay, so like, how do I get that? Like, if I'm in my current role, like how, like I'm not ever going to have that. And So for me, it was like, if I start my business, like I can, you know, it might be really hard and I might be working a lot those first few years. But once you get to a certain point, like you're able to create your own time and create your own schedule. And for that, I think was just like really important to have Mike there to be able to encourage me, because first off, I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, you can read so many books, and I'm sure you've read like tons of books and like Google and like, to, you know, even to figure out how to podcast, you know, we've talked about this. It's not like you went to college for podcasting. Like you have to figure stuff out, but right. Having that person there to be like, hey, like this is your first step. Okay. Hey, you have to set this up with the state and like, hey, you have to do this was just like so vital for me because I really had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, no, that's super fair. And I think that that's another piece too, right? Like, yes, you went to college for, you know, interior design, but, you know, we don't go to, and you went to college for business, but it's not like you went to college to, you know, learn how to start a business. You learned about business. And so I think that that's a piece of it too. But, you know, it is so interesting how, you know, we do look at, you know, starting our own business and it does seem so intimidating. And, you know, at the end of the day, once you start, and I feel like once you're in the thick of it, it's just, it's a really rewarding experience to see something like that, that you created grow. And one thing I would love to know from you is, you know, when you started and you were, I'm assuming just yourself, like, how did you see your company grow? And what were some of the challenges that you faced? Like, early on in creating Lawless Designs that, you know, you maybe wish you could have done differently or maybe would have known something else, as you started to grow.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the biggest things for me is whenever I do something, I'm all in. I kind of like, just kind of like deer in headlights and I'm like, okay, I want to do this. Like, I'm going to do it. And sometimes I don't just like take a moment to just like stop and chill for a little bit. So I think for me, I definitely, and this is where like Mike also comes into play with like, hey, like, let's go like do this today, or let's do this. Like, you know, he'll encourage me to take breaks and things. With him having his own business, that was super helpful because he's always been so understanding of like, I get it. Like, you need to work. Like, I get, like, it's long hours. Like, he always understands, which is incredible. Starting out was really difficult because I'm a visual field. I do interior design. Yeah. And for me, like, I couldn't use any of the stuff that I did for the architecture firms because those are non-proprietary, you know, those were for hotels and those weren't even out to the public. Or, you know, I did work at Logan Airport and JFK Airport. Like, you can't put that stuff out. You know, and so what I ended up doing was I did SketchUp models and like 3D models and things like this. And I just like made up these places that I would want for my house. And I did like, I rendered them and made them look 3D realistic. I made a website and kind of put those up. And then I put my stuff online and like slowly I just started getting people to come in and clients and things like that. So once I started adding clients, you know, I replaced those renderings and with like new projects that I would work on. So that was like kind of like a big struggle in the beginning of like, how do you even start to get clients? And it was kind of like that whole mentality of like, fake it till you make it. Like, I knew what I was doing, but I just needed those first few clients to understand, like, I know what I'm doing and I know it doesn't show it like online, but I can totally do this. And it was those clients that, you know, really took a chance on me. Like, I remember one client, I think he was my first one, which was like incredible. I was super excited. And he had told me he had interviewed me and this one other woman. And the other woman was like 20 years in business. And he was like, and he just made this comment and he was like, I really want to go with you because I want to support you. Like, I want to support your business. I know you're new. And like, you know, I think this could be good. Wow. And and like to have people like that is just so incredible, because one of the other reasons why I didn't even want to go into residential to begin with was because of the clientele. I was so nervous that people were going to be rude. You know, like, I don't know why I had this in my head. I was like, oh, well, like people could be mean to me and like, it's their house, or like people have money and like, who knows how they're going to act. And it's the complete opposite. It is I mean, I'm friends with my clients. I hang out with my clients, we have dinners together. We bring our dogs to the dog park together. Like, it's so different. Like, you create this connection and this bond. And I think that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to leave the company was, like, after I started my business, I realized, like, I just loved working with my clients. I feel like I'm so incredibly lucky with the clientele that I have. It's like, we get these connections and we're like, we just like hit it off. And I think that's just so important to have that relationship with your clients and with your business as well.
Yeah. Well, you are 100%. Whenever I got my first house, you are the designer. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember telling Dan, my boyfriend, I was like, oh my gosh, I met this incredible designer. She lives in New England. So she like knows the aesthetic. She's super minimalist. She has amazing taste. I was like, she will be decorating our house.
Yes, like, I love that.
She will be. Not like we could hire her eventually. No, she will be the designer for the house. but I think it's such an amazing, leap of faith to start something like that, because especially, finding your first clients, like what you're saying, fake it till you make it. Like, I have tried to, think about it that way for even my podcast. And it's a challenge to, have that mentality because of, we talk about this a lot, which is, the idea of imposter syndrome and feeling like, why am I, I don't feel like I'm good enough. And what's so funny is, I actually mentioned this in the last podcast I recorded. But I thought that imposter syndrome for the longest time was that you were an imposter. And so I was like, oh my God, I have imposter syndrome. I am the imposter. I'm the one they're talking about. Like, they are targeting me. I am the imposter that everyone is referring to. Seriously. And then I listened to a conversation like accidentally about imposter syndrome. And I was like, oh yeah, I definitely have that. Yeah. It's like, that's a prime example of having imposter syndrome is the fact that you think you're the imposter, therefore you have imposter syndrome.
You're just paranoid. You're like, oh crap, right. They found me out.
I know, really. But it's one of those things that I think is such a challenge, especially early on in your career, is to deal with that feeling of like, why am I good enough to do this work? Or like, why am I talented enough? Or, even if you went to school for it, like there are plenty of other fish in the sea that people can go with. Like, so I think that sort of mixing the confidence with, having people in your life that can really boost you and give you that at least momentum, and maybe like false, I won't say false confidence, but something like, like a jolt of confidence to just get it off the ground. And then I feel like, especially for you and I, we will not want to fail if we have something off the ground. Then it's like, oh, well, shit, I've got to figure it out. So, having both of those things, I think, is so, so valuable. And I think it's great that you have found people that really have given you that support, like through it all. What's your favorite part about running your own business? I would love to know.
Yeah. I think how I had mentioned before, like the clients. Yeah. I feel so incredibly lucky to work with the people that I do. I think everyone's just like so amazing and we really bond. Like, we have so much fun working together. And I think that's what's so great about it. So I love that. And yeah, I think that's really like, that's always the first thing that always comes to mind about like why I love my job is a lot of these clients too, is a lot of them are moving from out of state. This might be their first place that they're moving to. They might not know anyone. And I think it's really cool to like, you go there and it's like, you start out as like this professional, like working relationship, but then it's like, we're friends like at the end of the day, like, and it's so cool to like see those relationships. And because that's when you get these like great projects and this great outcome of like, you're designing for these people that you know so well. So, exactly like what will work for them in their house with like, they have kids. So like they need these things, or like, you know, they love to entertain or they have dogs. And like, that's kind of like the whole first process of like, when I work with my clients, like we don't talk about like the design, like at all in the first consultation, really until the end. Like, I just want to know about them. I want to know about like what your hobbies are, what you do, right, how you utilize your home. Like, what are all those things? Because in the back of my head, I'm trying to understand like, okay, so like, how are we going to design this home? Like, what's going to work the best way for them? You know, how is this going to fit into their lifestyle? So I think that's what's kind of really fun about the whole process.
Yeah, no, I love that. And then another question I have for you, I have two final questions. They're more fun. what like basic interior styling advice could you give someone that maybe, you know, is moving to a new apartment, you know, they're just starting out, they don't have a lot of money, you know, what's like the first thing that you would say, like, okay, do this or like invest in this piece?
Yeah. So I would definitely say this is a terrible answer, but it's going to be different for everyone with like what to invest in. I have some clients who are in love with artwork, and that is something that they really gravitate towards, and that's something that's really personal to them. And so, you know, go invest in art pieces that you really love. But then mm-hmm. I also have some clients where it's like they, at the end of a long day, they want to sit down on a sofa with their significant other and their dog and just hang out and watch a movie. So having a sofa that's really comfortable for them is key. But I would say, you know, just starting out, like if you're moving to an apartment or like a new home or anything like that, I'm such a big advocate for thrifting and for vintage shopping.
Yes.
I think it's such an awesome way. Like there's so many different reasons. I could ramble on about this for hours, but I mean, it's budget friendly. I mean, you can find some amazing deals that either are ready to go, or maybe they need like a little bit of love and maybe a little DIY hack there. It's cool because you're not creating a new material. A lot of times there's awesome thrift stores like right in your downtown shop that is local. And so you're cutting down on transportation. And then like, the other kind of big thing about it is like, it's unique and it's not like everyone's going to be able to go online and find that exact piece. Mm-hmm. It's something that's really personable and, you know, different for your own home, which I think is just like really awesome to have that in.
In this day and age, I think that so many people really, you know, are so used to buying from the West Elms and, you know, the Wayfair. I'm trying to think of anyone that I'm like, what are the names of these companies? And, you know, while it's great to buy like that trendy thing that you've seen online, you know, at the end of the day, styles change just like fashion. And it's like, if you can find what you really love and pieces that you love and want to invest in long-term, you know, that's also, I feel like a piece of sustainability is like, what do you want to have for the long run? Like what piece is going to make you happy for like a longer period of time? And I feel like, you know, I would always go antique shopping with my parents every weekend, like when I was growing up, and it was so much fun. Like we had such a blast, like it was a fun family activity. And I realized now as an adult, that's really strange, but I really felt like it was such a fun way of like being creative and finding pieces that really spoke to you and, you know, coming up with new ideas and I don't know, like creating a space that really felt like a home. Like, I feel like that's why my, you know, house that I grew up in really felt super homey was because all of the items were just like thrifted items that my parents had found or, you know, had come from like an old farm that they wanted to like, you know, refurbish something. And it's a really unique way to decorate your place.
Yeah. I feel like they always have a story too. You know, it's a conversational piece. It's like, oh, like, you know, this and that. And I feel like you can kind of like have this cool story for people when they ask about it or just to kind of know like, oh, like this piece came from here. Like it's something that I feel like you get more of like an emotional connection with.
Yeah.
I think to your point too, about like it being timeless. I mean, that's definitely a huge thing with my business is like, I get asked all the time about like what my personal style is. Mm-hmm. And it's... I'm so eclectic because I love pieces of every different style. I mean, I think that's what's fun about being a designer is like, I'm not designing for myself. I'm designing for my clients. And, you know, you like, that's why I'm listening to them, you know, for that and those initial conversations. And I think it's really fun to like mix and match different styles as to like, I love Art Deco. Like this cabinet behind me is
so pretty. Oh my gosh.
Mike made that.
Are you serious? That is so cool.
Yeah. So that's something that I love about a relationship is like, I'll design something and then he'll build it, which is really cool. So
that is couple goals. That is amazing. Oh my gosh. That is so cool. Yeah. For the listeners, she has like the most aesthetic room behind her. I have to like post a video to like prove this, but it's so beautiful.
Thank you. Mike's made just about like 90% of the stuff in here. So
wow. That is so cool. I love that. I made my headboard once for college and I felt super crafty. That's like the craftiest I've gotten ever.
I love that. It's so cool though. I think like, and then it's unique again, like that whole like vintage thing back. Mm-hmm. It's funny because like Mike always makes fun of me because every time I get a new piece for our house or like we're making something, I'll be like, oh, but is it timeless? Like, oh, cause I don't like, I love like trendy things, but I'm not like a trendy designer. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. But like, I'll add like one little like element of like a boucle chair in or something.
Oh my gosh. I am a slut for boucle. Yeah. I bought a boucle chair and I won't shut up about it. It's like literally everyone listening that knows me is like, you need to shut up about boucle. But I seriously am a slut for that. It's so, I don't even know if that's an offensive way of saying it, but like, I just drool over boucle. It's amazing.
It really is. But that's like something where it's like, okay. And then like, how do we juxtapose that with like a cool, like antique cabinet or yes. else? Like
yeah.
to make it where it's like, oh, that wasn't like 2021 that you designed that room, where it's like, oh, like this is cool that you're taking all these different eras and these different pieces mm-hmm. to make something, so you're not replacing something in like a couple of years because that whole place isn't like on trend anymore.
Right. Yeah. I love that. I would love for you to tell my listeners, this is the last question, I promise. I would love for you to tell my listeners about your newest project, your off the grid house.
So long story short,
no,
we ended up not getting that land
because, oh, really?
Yeah, we were about to close and then the last process. So for anyone, we had almost 99% of the way purchased, 23 acres of land in New Hampshire in the White Mountains. And then this is good for everyone to know who's looking to buy land, is we went through a wetland survey, and that was something that we originally weren't going to do because I didn't really know that you were supposed to. I mean, I'm a house person. That's like, I didn't know that stuff. And we had talked to a couple of people, and luckily, you know, one of my friends is a civil engineer, and my uncle, who's a contractor, he's in the construction business. He's a carpenter. They had mentioned like, you should get this before you purchase the land. And when we went up there, there was still 2 feet of snow. So we didn't understand like the wetlands and everything. We knew there were some, but we didn't understand to what extent. And then we found out that the entire frontage of the whole acreage was all wetlands and you have to preserve them. So if you can take some away, but you have to move them. So you have to relocate them onto the property still because of the ecosystem and, you know, all of that, you don't mess with it. And just the permitting alone was probably going to be close to the amount of the land. And that's not even any of the work to do anything. That was solely just the permit to do that.
Wow.
And so we just looked at it. I mean, it's tens of thousands of dollars. And we were just like, that this isn't worth it. We can find another piece of land. So we are still in the search. But
then maybe just the plan for what you eventually would like to do. I'm very sad to hear that news, but maybe just like the general gist of what it is going to be.
Yeah. So the general gist of it is my husband is a mechanical, electrical, also software engineer. And then, so he knows all kind of like the technical stuff. So what we're looking to do is build an off-grid cabin and like powered by like solar and just have this be like this cool off-grid cabin, fully sustainable, where I would design it, he'd build it because you don't want me building something. I'll like paint and do the little like finishing touches, but he'll build it. And then we want to be able to rent it out, to people. So this would be in the White Mountains. It's where we're searching in New Hampshire. because that's our favorite place to go. But then also, of course, we want to, you know, enjoy it ourselves. So, you know, we'll do that. But then this is also a long-term thing where we want to create like communities of like off-grid cabins. So it's not just one, but they're more. So they'd be kind of this like cool pod place to bring like you and your friends and family to.
So cool. I think that's such an amazing idea. I'm super for it.
Well, you have to come when we finally get this.
Got to visit. Will you finish the cabin before you have to, you know, help me redesign an interior of a home? You know, that's really the timeline that's up for question. But, you know, we'll leave that to the greater powers that be.
I'm really good at multitasking, so we
can... Simultaneous design. Awesome.